Well, again, good morning. Awesome to see all of you here this morning for our second service. I think I said this before, but just in case I didn't, my name's Dave. If you're here for the very first time, welcome. Something amazing has happened in the Jane household recently. We have entered a new era as a family, and I'm excited to tell you what that is. That is, recently, within the last couple of months, Casey, with the help of Emma, my daughter, have taken to making their own bread. Look at that. I got in trouble first service because I showed the bad side. I'm not sure which is the good side. Is that the good side, you think? Or is that, yeah. So, my wife is amazing. So, who knew? I just figured the only way you could get bread was you go to Kroger's, you walk down the aisle, there it is, you get white, you get brown, you get sourdough. But it turns out you can just go to a regular store, buy the ingredients, and make your own bread at home. I had no idea. So that's what's been going on at the Jane household for the last few months. We've been eating this incredibly tasty fresh bread. We've had toast, we've had rolls, we've had eggs on toast. It's just been incredible. And I'm excited about where we're going to go from here. I'm sure that pretty soon Casey will be darning holes in my socks. I'll be out behind the house churning butter. We're going to just, you know, move into this brand new phase of life. If you want to come and see us, we live over here just on Trail's Edge. And it's a little house on the prairie. That's where we live now. So come see us because it's just a great, great time. But for a couple of weeks now here at Connect, we've been talking about a very special prayer that Jesus himself taught us how to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And did you know that in that prayer, he talks about bread? He says, give us this day, he says we should pray, give us this day our daily bread. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Because some of you may think that that line in that prayer is all about food. That maybe this is something that we would pray, you know, like grace. Maybe that's why we have to say grace before a meal. Because you know how sometimes we can pray before meals? And that's super easy, right? I mean, it's very easy to say grace before a meal. I'm sure none of you have ever had a problem with that. But some people do. Check this out.
Greg, would you like to say grace?
Greg's Jewish dad, you know that.
You're telling me Jews don't pray, honey? Unless you have some objection.
No, I'd love to. Pam, come on, it's not like I'm a rabbi or something. I said grace at many a dinner table. It's okay. Oh, dear God, thank you. You are such a good God to us, a kind and gentle and accommodating God. And we thank you, oh sweet, sweet Lord of hosts, for the smorgasbord you have so aptly lain at our table this day and each day by day, day by day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things we pray: to love thee more dearly, to see thee more clearly, to follow thee more nearly. Day by day, by day. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, we chuckle along, but the reality is one of the reasons I'm enjoying speaking on this subject of the Lord's Prayer is because I bet there are some of us here this morning that just are terrified of the idea of being in a situation where I might have to pray out loud for other people to hear because I don't know what I should say or how I should say it. And that's why Jesus spent this time speaking to people on the hillside, and his words are still just as relevant to us today, giving us some guidance and some structure on how we can pray. And the great thing I hope that you've learned over the last few weeks here at Connect and will continue to learn is that prayer is simply you talking as naturally to God as you would to one another. That it could be sat in an armchair in your home. It could be kneeling down by the side of your bed. It could be driving along in the car. God just loves it when we take time to speak to Him. And prayer is simply us sharing our desires, our fears, our life. And it's a conversation. I don't believe it's a one-way piece of traffic going to heaven. I think God wants to interact with us through the Bible, maybe through a message on a Sunday morning like this. It could be with a conversation with a friend. We can see evidence of God engaging in our lives. Things we've prayed about, seen answers to those prayers. And Jesus, when he taught us this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, he gave us some structure. The Lord's Prayer in and of itself is a great prayer to pray. Many of you have prayed it when you were younger in Sunday school. Some people pray it before athletic events. You know, I think many of us know this prayer off by heart. And it is a good prayer to pray. But Jesus didn't just teach us this prayer to be something that we memorize and then recite verbatim. He also taught us because there is some structure to this prayer. There are some aspects to this prayer for how we should pray in general. And that's what we've been talking about here at Connect over the last couple of weeks. The very first line of the prayer is, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And really, just that first line was Jesus teaching us what everyday worship looks like. Everyday worship. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. It's a form of worship. And while it was great this morning to start out our service by singing, and that is a form of worshiping God, the reality is, every day, our lives can be a life of worship to God if we'll choose to put Him first in all we do. Last week, we looked at the second line in this prayer and we learned what everyday lordship looks like. When Jesus taught us how to pray, there was another aspect to this prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we pray these words, it's more than just a prayer. It's a call to action. It's us saying, God, we want to see your kingdom come. The way it is in heaven, we want to see it like that here on earth. We want your will to be done around us, and we want to be a part of making that happen. We want to do our part in following your will for our lives so that we could be a part of seeing your kingdom come in this world around us. So Jesus is saying, when you pray, when you sit, when you kneel, when you gather, when you want to talk to me, you can spend time worshiping. You can spend time submitting, saying, God, I want your will to be done in my life. But then you can also, Jesus said, a great thing to pray is something like this. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, for many of us, when we pray, our prayers tend to start here. Dear God, please give me this. Please give me this. You know, we look at areas of our life where there might be a need and we pray for those things. And Jesus is saying, hey, that's absolutely fine. That's God wants to hear about the needs. He wants to meet the needs in your life. He wants you to talk to Him. And we're going to learn today that it's more than just bread. But there is something in this very short line, give us this day our daily bread, that's very significant. It would have been significant to the audience at the time who heard Jesus teaching. And I think it's just as significant to us today, 2,000 years later. You see, when Jesus was talking about this prayer, it was to thousands of people who were gathered on a hillside one day to hear the words of this teacher they'd heard so much about. Word was spreading. There was this guy named Jesus, and man, he was speaking such wisdom. It was so new, so much so that thousands gathered on a hillside one day. And in the New Testament, there are four accounts of Jesus' life. They're told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Matthew, in particular, he tells us about this event in chapters 5, 6, and 7. He talks about what we now call the Sermon on the Mount. And it was this gathering of all these people listening to Jesus teach on all sorts of different subjects, and one of those subjects was prayer. So you've got thousands of people listening to Jesus talking on prayer. hearing him say, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, to them, the idea of making bread or buying bread would have been a regular occurrence. It may have even been daily. Most of those people, they would have lived a long way from the nearest Costco. So they really couldn't get bread in bulk or keep it in freezers. So they understood what it meant to ask for daily bread, because that was their life, was making bread on a daily or a couple of days basis. But it wasn't just the aspect of what it's like to make bread daily. Some of the people on that hillside that day, they would have been Jewish. And even the ones who weren't would have known enough of the history of Israel to make the connection in what Jesus was saying when he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Straight away in their minds, they would have gone back to a chapter in their history 2,000 years before, when the Israelites, who had been slaves in Egypt, were rescued by Moses, and he led them out into the wilderness. And for a long time, they were kind of moving around in the wilderness before they finally found their new place that they settled, that became their land. But during the time of their travels in the wilderness, in the middle of a desert, where there wasn't access to be able to make fresh bread, we learn that God provided their daily bread. Exodus, in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 16 says this: "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day.' And the people of Israel, they called the bread manna." And maybe some of you remember that from Sunday school. You know, the Old Testament, the Jews, the people of Israel, this manna that God provided every day. This idea of this daily bread. Which is why I think this part of the prayer, it seems so basic that we actually miss the depth of what Jesus is saying. Because when you understand it in the context of what it meant for the Israelites in the desert, trusting God for daily bread, we start to learn there's something really radical in this part of the prayer. This part of the prayer is actually all about radical, extreme dependence. This short line is more than just asking for bread. It's about trusting God completely, dependence upon God. Now, for some of us, we don't like that word. It kind of has some negative connotations, doesn't it? We think of phrases like chemical dependency, codependency, being dependent on someone else. In fact, really, it's only this time of the year that we like hearing that word, because our accountant is asking us how many dependents we have, and each one gets us a little bit more money. But other than that, we shy away from the word dependence, because the truth is, as a culture, we strive for the opposite. We want the opposite, don't we? We want independence. We want to be self-sufficient. It's ingrained in the fabric of our nation. Hundreds of years ago, there were some who assumed that this little colony would come back. "You'll be back soon, you'll see. La-di-da-da-da." But you never came back. And then the founding document of our nation was created. It's literally the Declaration of Independence. This Englishman says with gritted teeth, acknowledging who you want to be independent of. But against the grain of our independent spirits, this line of the prayer that Jesus is encouraging every one of us to pray on a regular basis, it's pushing us towards this idea instead of everyday dependence. "Give us this day our daily bread." Let us be a people who every day, Jesus, every day, Father God, we acknowledge we are dependent upon you. We want to rely completely on you, God, as our provision. But it can be challenging, can't it, to pray that and mean it. I mean, let's be honest, when we say "give us this day our daily bread," the reality is that every one of us probably has enough food right now in our fridges and freezers for 20 days of daily bread. So why are we asking for daily bread? Even if we don't, for $20 we can pop down a Taco Bell and have enough bread to keep us going, or burritos at least, for another 24 hours. So to ask God to give us this day our daily bread, it seems a bit silly because we are very capable of supplying our own bread. But listen to something Jesus said a little later in his life. John, one of the other disciples, he quotes Jesus in John 15:5. He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus says, apart from me, if you are one of my followers, if you've committed to following me, you need to know, apart from me, you can do nothing. C.S. Lewis, a great British author and theologian, he put it this way: a car is made to run on petrol, not gasoline, petrol, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. I love that idea. You see, dependence on God is not a crutch for weak people. It's nothing to avoid or be ashamed of. It's simply how we were designed to run. God created us like a car that needs gasoline. He's created us as human beings that need him. To be dependent upon him in our lives. So give us this day our daily bread. It really is a prayer for all of us to express that dependence. To ask God for the essentials in our life. It's simply us praying, God, everything I have comes from you. I couldn't even eat today if you hadn't provided it. I depend on you fully to provide everything I need. Otherwise, our prayer would be different, wouldn't it? We'd be praying, our employer, whose headquarters are in Peoria, or at least they were before they moved to Chicago and then they moved to Texas. Give me this day. Give me this day our daily bread. That could be some of our prayer because that's where we see our provision coming from. But the reality is, it's more than that, isn't it? When we learn to see God as our provider and not our parents or our company, it frees us from the fear of things that might let us down. Because we're not dependent on our parents. We're not dependent on our employer. We're not dependent on our retirement account. We're dependent upon God, who oversees all those things in our life and blesses us through those things, but we're not dependent on them. We are dependent on God, who gives us each day our daily bread. Listen to what Jesus continued to teach right after this teaching on prayer, to help give you some perspective this morning on who it is that wants to provide for us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food? And your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Everyday dependence means not having to worry about stock markets, recessions, cutbacks, layoffs. Everyday dependence, us praying simply, "Give us this day our daily bread," it means trusting that the Father in heaven, who takes care of the birds in the air and who loves you so much more than those birds, is not going to let you go without. God will supply. But here's what we need to remember this morning. You see, the challenge is he's promised to supply our needs, not our wants. He's promised to supply our needs, not our wants. And you might say, well, is there a difference? Well, when my children were younger, they found out there is. We would often go shopping when the kids were younger, and they'd see something that they needed. "Dad, I need this. Can you buy me this? Because, Dad, I need this." At which point, Mrs. Jane, Casey, she would step in and she would very kindly explain that a need is something you can't live out. I'm going to say it again. A need is something you can't live without. Then she would go on to let them know that she learned that in high school in government economics with Mrs. K. And every time she would remind the children, "I remember, Mrs. K in government economics teaching me in high school that a need is something you can't live without. And as you can imagine, in the shop at the time, the kids were like, oh, then that's fine. I'm good with that explanation. Went down really well. But it's true, isn't it? So we ask God to meet our needs, to supply us with our daily bread. Not necessarily our wants, but as he's clothed the birds of the field, as he's given food to the birds, God wants to meet our needs. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we've also got to kind of look at our mindset in that prayer. What are my needs? How much do I need? Maybe a prayer some of us need to pray is, how much is enough? When asking God to give us this day our daily bread. I've brought this bowl up onto the stage to illustrate this point this morning. When asking the question, how much is enough? Because I have two cups here. And this first cup, okay, you'll be able to see if where you're sitting, has a hole in the bottom. This cup can represent our lives sometimes. We ask God to give us this day, our daily bread, and God answers that prayer, and he pours in, but there's a hole, and there just never, ever seems to be enough. So as much as he gives us, we're always wanting more, because there's always room for more. We always want more, because we haven't determined how much is enough. What is enough? And here's why it's important to understand that, because when we go back to that reference Jesus was making in history to the Israelites in the desert, do you remember that time when he provided bread for them every day? He provided just enough bread each day for that day. When you read in Exodus about the Israelites, you can read that some of them actually took more than they needed. Took more than their family needed, and they hoarded it in their tents. And you know what? It says they would wake up the next morning, and all of it had spoiled. Because God said, have faith. Trust me, tomorrow I will give you enough for tomorrow. And the next day I will give you enough for that day. But the Israelites had to learn this difficult lesson of determining what is enough. And I think when we pray and when we ask Jesus to give us this day our daily bread, we too have to look at our resources and what we have in our life and find out what is enough and plug that hole in our life that seems to be constantly draining. So why is it important for us as followers of Jesus to figure out what is enough? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because this is where, I believe, this line of the prayer, the rubber hits the road. This is where it goes from being more than just a prayer that we pray out loud, more than just the line of a prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And this is where, God, what responsibility do I have to put those words into action? How can I respond to this being more than just words of a prayer? Have you ever thought about the fact when you've prayed the Lord's Prayer, that it's not in the first person? Has that ever crossed your mind? Jesus teaches us this wonderful prayer that we should pray. He says, this is how you should pray. But then instead of teaching us to pray, my Father, give me this day, lead me not, forgive me, he instead teaches us, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. I believe the reason for this is because Jesus isn't just teaching us how to pray. He's affirming the blessing, the importance of community. That we weren't meant to be just praying for us. That we're a part of a community. This morning, we're a part of a church, of a community. And when we pray, we're not just praying for ourselves. We're praying for those around us. So think about that in the context of this line of this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. You're actually praying that not just your needs are met, but the needs of those that you're in community with are also met. You're saying, give us this day. God, I want to see my friends, my neighbors, people in my community, people who maybe don't have the same job that I have. God, I want to see their needs met as well. God, I want to see all of us today receive our daily bread. And if I'm a Christ follower, I become part of the us. When I pray, give us this day our daily bread, I can't just ask for my needs to be met. I must allow my life to be aligned with God's will to meet the needs of others through me. Maybe God has a plan to not just meet my needs, but to use me as part of his plan to meet the needs of somebody else who is on their knees saying, God, give me today my daily bread. And here's how this works. And this is exciting because it won't necessarily change your life, but it could change hundreds of lives around you. Because you see, when you discover how much is enough, it plugs the hole in your cup. So now your life is a little bit different. And the same God to whom we prayed before, God, give us this day our daily bread, he wants to answer that prayer. And he wants to fill our lives and meet our needs. But because we've got to the point where we know what enough is, God doesn't just stop at the top of the cup. He keeps giving us our daily bread. He keeps meeting our needs to the point where actually we start to see an overflow in our life. We start to see that God is actually blessing us in such a way that we have more than we need. And we have the opportunity out of this overflow to bless others. So what do I do with this extra? There was an author by the name of Shane Claiborne. He wrote a book, Becoming the Answer to Our Prayers. Becoming the Answer to Our Prayers. I love that as a title of the book because the premise of the book is, yeah, we can spend a lot of time praying about a lot of different things, but have you ever thought about the fact that maybe you are the answer to some of the things you're praying about? That maybe God wants to use you to answer some of those things that you're praying about? One of the very early church saints, he lived just a little after 300 AD. His name's St. Basil the Great. I know there's a lot of St. Basil the Great fans here this morning. Some of you, I'm sure, listened to his podcast. He was brilliant, okay? And he lived at a time that was just 300 years after the life of Jesus. So the words of Jesus would still have been echoing in the communities of his time. And St. Basil the Great said this in one of his sermons, "The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under your bed belong to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked. The money that depreciates in your treasury belongs to the poor." So what are you going to do with your daily bread? If you want to pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, what are you going to do with your daily bread? Because when we understand what it means to be fully dependent on God for everything, we discover that our daily bread is so much more than just bread, than just food. It's everything we have. It's our resources, our time, our talents, our treasure. We realize, God, all of this I have, these skills, these abilities of mine, God, you've given all of this to me. It comes from you. I have this because of you. So in closing this week, I want to ask you two questions. I want to actually send you away with these two questions to ponder, to pray about, maybe to speak to your spouse about, maybe as a family, you can talk about this in the car today on the way to lunch. Because up till now, we've prayed this prayer not really realizing the words that we're praying. We've prayed, give us this day our daily bread. But actually, the first question, am I really living everyday dependence upon God? When I pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, am I really saying, God, I trust you more than Caterpillar or OSF or my 401k or everywhere else in my life that I've been dependent in the past? God, you've blessed me with the job I have or the career I have or the money I have, but God, am I at a place where I'm fully dependent upon you? I live everyday dependence on you. And then the second question, God, what am I going to do with the daily bread that you've given me? What am I going to do with the daily bread he has given me? If I see an overflow in my life, if I see God provide more than I need, then if I'm truly praying, give us this day our daily bread, am I willing to take some of the responsibility to be in the answer to that prayer? God, you've given me my daily bread, and you've given me enough that I could actually bless some others who are also praying that prayer, who maybe don't have the means that I have. So those are the two questions you can think and pray about this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that through Jesus, your Son, you taught us this incredible prayer that actually has so much depth and meaning to it that sometimes when we recite it by memory, we're not even aware of the power of the words we're praying. And you've given us this structure to pray. And Lord, in this prayer, you've said it's okay to ask for things. God, you love to hear us come and say, God, would you meet this need in my life? God, I need help in this area of my life. It's okay to ask because you want us to be in a place where we are completely dependent upon you. Like any father with a child, we love it when our kids come to us and look to us for our help. God, you love it when your children come to you and ask for your help because you want to help us. You want to meet our needs. But the truth is, Lord, you've given many of us more than enough. So because we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, help us to be aware of the idea this is more than just words we should be praying. There is a call to action here. We could be a part of answering this prayer for someone else if we're willing to hold loosely to the things we have, if we're willing to plug the hole of enough in our lives and realize that, God, we know what's enough, and out of the excess, we want to bless others. Help us to live that way, I pray, in Jesus' name.